straight out of Austin, Texas. It's On Second Thought, powered by Hook'em.com, with your hosts, Statesman sports columnists Cedric Golden and Kirk Bowles. Often imitated, never duplicated. Hear it here first on Second Thought.
You heard the lady on Second Thought, episode 157, brought to you by Hook'em.com, our good friends at Bud Light. My name's Cedric Golden, and I'm joined via phone again. Man, I can't get him in the office anymore. Kirk Bowles in Houston, Texas, getting ready as of this taping for Game 7 of the World Series. Duck, what's happening?
Well, a lot of baseball's happening. I tell you, it's a crazy Game 6, I'll say that. So it's not something you see every day.
Not something you see every day, and I'm sure we will break that down ad nauseum next week when it's all said and done. But the Texas Longhorns, that's a big topic in our little community. And Tom Herman has had this bye week to do some soul searching, Kirk. Surely he's done some self-examination. He's looked at himself in the mirror as a head coach and his staff. If you were sitting in Tom Herman's chair, standing in his moccasins, what would you have done this week?
Well, first I would try to avoid security, because if I was sitting in Tom Herman's chair, there'd be a lot of alarms going off. So I'd be arrested inside of 30 seconds, so I'd start with that. But, yeah, you know, that's one advantage of having an open date, is that you do a little bit more self-examination and scout yourself and look at your tendencies. And you can't just, you know, totally revamp everything you've done, obviously. You know, that's not feasible. And quite honestly, I just wonder if they've got enough time to fix all their problems on defense with only four games left. So, but I think he needs to take a hard look and start looking at what has gone wrong this season and why they're sitting here at 5-3 with four games left in the season.
Tom Herman is a really good football coach and a really smart man. Here's the quandary that a lot of football coaches have to deal with, Duck, when it comes to matters of personnel. His buddy, Todd Orlando, is having the worst stretch of his career, and the Texas Longhorns are one of the worst defenses in all of college football and the statistical worst defense in school history. They are 126th in passing defense, and they are,
117
overall
in total defense.
That doesn't cut it. I mean, I don't care if you got Brett Favre, Aaron Rodgers, and Jerry Rice at receiver. You're not going to win with those kind of defensive numbers.
No, you're not, and that's the main reason why they are 5-3, because the offense has been pretty dynamic for most of this season. Sam Ellinger has been a fringe Heisman candidate until the record kind of, you know, knocked him out of that conversation.
And those four picks.
Well, four picks against TCU didn't help either, but he was probably already out after a second loss. But but yeah, you can't sustain a defense that's there are only three Power Five defenses worse than Texas in total defense, only three Power Five defenses worse than Texas in pass defense. You can't exist that way, especially in the Big 12, where you have really good quarterbacks. So, you know, staff decisions are one of the hardest things a head coach has to do, that and recruiting evaluation. Who do you offer? Who do you not offer? Who fits your system? And those are probably the biggest two decision areas that Tom will face over the next 2 months. They lost two commitments from four-star players last week. Javon Shepherd, their offensive lineman, is hopefully going to provide a lot of depth moving forward, is in the transfer portal. And then you go and lose to TCU, and don't take yourself totally out of the Big 12 picture, but boy, you're behind the eight ball there. So it was just a really bad week for Texas football, and it doesn't seem to be getting any better.
Yeah, and imagine how bad it would be if they hadn't found a way to beat Kansas. I mean, this thing would be underwater by now. And the island is sinking, but I still see some land peering up over that water. The injuries, Duck, you can't overlook the injuries. Guys,
no,
big names, Caden Stearns, Brandon Jones, Chris Brown, B.J. Foster, just so many guys. Josh Thompson.
Yeah, Jordan Whittington.
Whittington. Those are so many guys that are expected to make plays this year, but they haven't been able to stay on the field. And in the case of Whittington and Stearns, haven't been able to get on the field. So I know if you're evaluating Orlando, you have to bring that into consideration. Even Tim Beck, even though the offense has been decent. But what do you say about the scheme? Rushing three, dropping eight, cowboy package. I mean, that's the Big 12 way of doing business. Is we know we're not going to get sacks because quarterbacks are taking quick drops and getting rid of the ball. But Herman himself, Duck, has said the definition of insanity is doing something over and over again that doesn't work. When is he going to change? And do you think he's putting some wrinkles into that porous defense going into that K-State game next week?
You know, he's defended the system, but I think it's tremendously flawed. And here's one of the main reasons I think that is kind of being overlooked in this whole discussion, Sid, is that if you're in the old school, in the Mack Brown era of the Big 12, where you had, you know, Mike Leach airing it out, Oklahoma airing it out, West Virginia airing it out.
Texas, you know, airing it out.
Who?
Texas airing it out with Colt.
Right, one after the other. That was the kind of the era that Texas was in for quite a long time. But you look at the last 3 weeks, okay, all three of the opponents that either beat or played Texas tough, like Kansas, they have very good running attacks. I mean, you look at Jalen Hurts and Trey Sermon and Kennedy Brooks for Oklahoma, you know, T.J. Pledger. You look at Puka Williams for Kansas, almost rushing for 200 yards.
Darius Anderson,
Olanua, you know, having big day.
Matt
Duggan,
yes,
had over 72 yards rushing. So those were teams that were balanced. They ran and passed. And that's why I don't think the three-man front really works. I don't think it's flexible enough to stop a balanced offense. And I think therein lies a lot of their problem. They're not making anybody one-dimensional, which is a key for every defense, as you know. And these last three opponents are being able to do both.
And I think that when you talk about the fact that these teams have been balanced, Duck, to me, I don't even know if it's the fact that they're balanced. I just think the Texas defense isn't very good. They can't stop the run, can't stop the pass, and they're doing what they want to do. And I can't remember who it was, but it was kind of a boxing analogy, Duck. And I know you hate boxing, but I'm not going to get too much on boxing. But when a young fighter is fighting an old fighter, the key to it was to make that old fighter fight when he doesn't want to fight, when he's trying to get his rest. That's when you push him. Mack Brown, one of the smartest things he ever said to reporters was, being balanced doesn't mean we're 50-50 run pass. Being balanced means we do what we want when we want to do it. And so what's happened with Texas is LSU knew that they could throw it, and their best player was Joe Burrow. So they aired it out against that suspect secondary. Kansas knew that Puka Williams was their best player. So they handed it to Puka, and he ran for a buck 90. I think it's the fact that the Longhorns, it's not more about scheme. It's the fact that they just aren't very good. They're not equipped to stop anybody. Is it the scheme? Is it the fact that they have injuries? Is it just the fact that they're not as good as we thought they might be on defense in the preseason? Whatever the reason is, Duck, they're giving up points in bunches and yards in bunches. And Kansas State just whooped Oklahoma. You think the Wildcats are going to come in here thinking that they're going to lay down and lose? Texas is going to be up against it against K-State.
Well, they will, and that's been a big rival and a big thorn in Texas side in the history of the Big 12. We all know that most of the time in Manhattan. But that's a good program. And Chris Klieman's a heck of a coach. He was part of 7 national championships in the FCS. So he's a guy who knows what he's doing. Okay, so you know that goes without saying. But you know, Tom's coming off back-to-back top 3 national recruiting classes. Okay, he's recruited very well. And so you would think there'd be a lot of talent, you know, on that roster. Yeah, a lot of it's young. And we've talked about the injuries on our podcast all year long. We've all written about it. But most all those injuries have been exclusive to the secondary. I mean, you know, Malcolm Roach is not hurt. And Taquan Graham isn't hurt. And, you know, Adewale isn't hurt. And Osai isn't hurt, you know. So, you know, all the injuries have been concentrated in the secondary. And even when he lost 3 DBs after the Oklahoma State game, we asked Tom Herman about it on Monday facing West Virginia.
One worried.
And his answer is, I'm not losing any sleep over it.
He better not be losing any sleep now, because he better not be asleep. You better wake up, or this season's going to get to suffer a technical knockout.
Yeah, and I feel like the fan base has kind of turned livid again. It's like, you know, there's a thing that's propped up. And even though you and I didn't say Texas is back, Sam Ellinger did. And, you know, that's on him. And I know he got caught up in the emotions of the Sugar Bowl. And, you know, in some ways, was the Sugar Bowl not the worst thing that ever happened to Texas?
Don't say
but was
that.
It a double-edged sword in that it escalated expectations too high, and it made Texas players a little too confident or too cocky?
I don't think so. I think the Sugar Bowl was the best thing that could have happened to Texas, because that's in the history books now, Doug. They beat Georgia in the Sugar Bowl. Whatever happens after that, if they turn in a clunker in 30 years, we're not going to be talking about 2019. We're going to be talking about the year they won the Sugar Bowl. So what they do with those expectations is on them. And remember, Sam told us before any games ever started this year, this defense is the fastest defense I've ever faced. They have a chance to be elite, and they're not. They're not elite.
They aren't close to elite. They're not even average. When you rank 126 in the nation, that's not elite. I don't care how fast you are. I mean, you know, I don't know if you got a chance. I know you were at the Aggie game last week, but, I mean, Texas,
I went back and watched.
They're throwing deep, and they're going over the top consistently against Texas, and they did that last year.
You know, we were talking before the game about Rager, Jalen Rager. Where's he been?
Yeah.
I was like, he might wake up this week. And he did. Texas, you know what they've become, Duck? They're star makers now. They're making stars. Now, Jalen Rager, I'm sorry, he's got NFL ability, so I'm not disrespecting him. But Max Duggan and Carter Stanley?
Yeah,
those guys might be making $27,000 in the XFL in 3 years.
Yeah,
I looked up a stat. They were a combined 16 of 32 on third down. Kansas and TCU, 16 of 32 on third down. Those teams are not even expected to compete for a Big 12 title. And we had Texas penciled in as a finalist against OU. And now we look down, we look up I-35 North, and the Waco City Grizzlies are the second best team. Maybe the best team, Duck.
Maybe the best team. And this is also Matt Rhule's third year. So, you know, Tom really can't hang his hat on that, because I know he always makes allusions to Charlie Strong era. And
Charlie didn't go 1-11.
Yes, he went 1-11 his first year. Then he went 7-6, and now they're sitting here unbeaten.
I said, but Charlie didn't. Charlie had there's some grapes on that vine when Tom Herman took over. There were some NFL players on that Longhorn team that Tom took over. Puna Ford was on that team. Malik Jefferson was on that team. Holton Hill was on that team. Deshaun Elliott, the Kraken, was on that team. Gary Johnson was on that team. So you can't tell me that there wasn't talent. So that 7-6, I think that 7-6 was more about preparation and devotion to the details. And Charlie wasn't the most organized cat out there. And so I think that when they went 7-6, it was a big deal. It wasn't something about talent, because the talent was there, Doug.
Well, except at proven at quarterback. I mean, you know, Sam as a freshman won the job from Shane Buechel, and he wasn't ready. He wasn't able to read defenses. He wasn't comfortable. The game hadn't slowed down for him yet like it has the last 2 years. So, you know, that was a really big part of it. And I'm glad you mentioned Baylor, because I mentioned Matt Rhule is also in his third year. He also has had injuries this year. I wrote about nine things this week.
No one reads that. Go ahead.
Two of his best three running backs are hurt. His all-star linebacker, Clay Johnston, is hurt.
He's gone.
He's probably going to be All-American.
Mm-hmm.
Two of their starting DBs were out last week. Their left tackle was out, and they moved a redshirt freshman from right to left tackle. So everybody has injuries. We know that. I mean, Nick Saban starting four freshmen on defense because his best two linebackers are hurt. Two is out. I mean, he played as a backup quarterback against Arkansas, and they sneezed and got 48 points, I think, at halftime. It was, you know, so, I don't know. The excuses get a little tired and a little bit hollow. And, you know, they're not paying Tom $5.7 million to cry about injuries and hear excuses. So if you're looking ahead, said four games left, what would the percentage be that they can run the table and win all four?
They can't find the table, Duck, let alone run it. I mean, there's a big old – Catarino Vasquez and I are sitting at this big old table right now, and he'll be coming up in a few for the Fantasy League Fix. But he's not going to run the table, Duck. I'm giving them the benefit of the doubt on Kansas State. I think they're going to win that game because they have to circle the wagons and sack up and win. But I don't pick them at Iowa State, and I don't pick them at Baylor right now. I think that they'll beat Tech, and I think that they'll beat K-State. But that's it. That's it. I just don't
see
it. And
those aren't guarantees either.
Mm-mm. No, they aren't. Unless those guys come back healthy and they figure out a mix on defense and they get some takeaways and some sacks. I mean, the only sacks I've seen in Austin are HEB, and they just started back putting them out on the shelves. I ain't seen no sacks at DKR.
And K-State just beat Oklahoma, and Texas Tech, their last game the day after Thanksgiving, they beat Oklahoma State. They almost beat Baylor, and there was a questionable call in overtime where they might have beaten Baylor. So, you know, they're not void of talent. Yes, they lost to Kansas after a silly blocked field goal and then a lateral that was fumbled. You know, Matt Wells easily could have won those two games. And then, you know, Texas Tech is off and running with some serious momentum. And as you said, you have two road games. You know, two of the toughest places to play now that Baylor is playing so well, and obviously Iowa State. I mean, is there any chance that Texas goes 6-6?
I can't co-sign on that one. No.
Yeah.
I got them at 7-5 at worst.
How big a setback would 7-5 be, though?
That's a big setback. It's a failure because if they're 7-5, yeah. Baylor's going to play OU for the Big 12 title. If they're 7-5. I don't think you could look at 7-5 as anything positive. I don't care who's hurt. That's a big step back for Team Herman, in my opinion.
And you go from a Sugar Bowl winner over Georgia, a 10-4 team that was in the Big 12 title game in a tight game till the fourth quarter, until a certain corner blitz kind of stole the momentum for Oklahoma for good, and then to be sitting here at 5-3 and we're even talking about the possibility of 6-6 or 7-5. It's very frightening. It's very frightening, and you don't know if something's in the water in Austin or what, but Texas better get it act together, and they better get it act together pretty darn quick.
On Second Thought.
Duck, the NCAA voted unanimously to allow athletes to profit off of their images and their likeness. Who'd have thought that the NCAA would have finally woken up and smelled the coffee? And it's definitely percolating in New York.
Well, it's so magnanimous of the NCAA to think of the benefit of student athletes. I mean, what a crock. I mean, they were dragged kicking and screaming into this century, and only because of California's legislation that was allowing athletes to benefit and profit off their name, images, and likenesses did they ever come up with this. And I'm still, they're scared to death, and it's going to be in committees. So I don't know. I know the California bill was supposed to, or the law was supposed to take effect in 2023, but do you think it'd be any sooner than that?
I do, and because why wait? Why wait? Why give the NCAA another? The NCAA, their thing said 2021. And so,
yes.
But my thing is this, why wait? Because you you want to give yourself another year to line your pockets while the players are still playing for free, basically?
They're worried about where it's going to go, and as always.
Don't worry about where it's going to go, because it's not your money. You're not going to be paying.
It's a free market. It affects men and women, all sports. Nothing comes out of the school's pocket. You know, if some local movie house wants, you know, Sam Mellinger to endorse, you know, their popcorn, or somebody covert wants Joseph Asai to, you know, endorse their cars, I mean, let them. And
let
I think
them
the
get
schools
this money.
Are also worried that, well, some of these companies that will pay for endorsements, maybe they won't donate as much to the athletic program.
Is that the problem, Doug?
Well, it always is about money, right?
Of course it's about money. It's always about those stanky Ben Frankies. And they want to be the disseminator of said monies. They want to give you a scholarship, a ticket to the mess hall, and a little bit of movie money on that stipend. And that's
it. Unlimited snacks.
And unlimited snacks. But, oh, don't let the players try to get a little bit more money. All I know, Duck, is when I go to a UT game, I see a lot of number 11 jerseys in those stands. I see a lot of Ellinger jerseys. I don't see a lot of Tom Herman shirts or some. I don't see any CDC shirts out there. And let me tell you about Tom Herman and Chris Del Conte. I like them. They're okay guys, and they worked hard to get where they are, Duck. But you know what? They are paid handsomely, and part of the reason they're paid handsomely is because there are kids that come in every year between 18 and 23 years of age that come in and lift weights and run wind sprints and work their tails to the bone to make sure that those seats are going to be filled on Saturday afternoons. That's where the real money is being made by the kids.
Well, I think they're worried mostly about recruiting benefits that Joe Booster will say to a five-star quarterback, you come to my school and I'll buy $1 million worth of your jerseys. Well, who cares if it benefits the kid? And let's don't kid ourselves. Stuff like that's going on now already.
They're just not
paying for commercials or buying their jerseys, but it's already happening. If you don't think so, just Google the FBI basketball scandal, and you will see that it's well in place already.
It's much bigger than football. It's much bigger than football. There's more money.
But here's the question. Here's a serious question I have for you, Sid. Say they pass it immediately.
Yes, sir.
Texas has 85 scholarship football players.
Mm-hmm.
How many would be able to benefit from their name, image, and likeness when we get down to it?
I'm going to say 20%, 1 in 5. And I'm going to tell
you, I bet it's not that high.
It might not be that high, because off the top of the dome, Duck, oh, here are the guys that if I was running a company, if I was Thomas J. Henry, attorney at law, somebody like that, and I wanted to get into the Longhorn player business, like an image, whatever you want to call it. Here are the guys that would be on my list. Sam Ellinger, Colin Johnson, Brandon Jones, Joseph Osai, and maybe Keontae Ingram. Devin Duvernay.
You left out Devin Duvernay.
Devin Duvernay. Probably Devin over Keontae. Because
yes.
because Devin just has that.
Oh, for
that,
sure. He's having an All-American year.
Yeah, he's pretty. And he's a better player. And he's gonna get more notice. So five guys on the team. So why is it such a big deal that five guys are going to be able to make a little extra bread. And for those people going, well, what about the other guy? What about the other 80? What about the other 80?
Play better.
Play better, and then maybe you'll be Sam Ehlinger when you're a senior.
But I think I don't think it'll be anywhere close to 20%. I think it'll be more like five players, and maybe one softball player or one women's basketball player, and things like that. I don't think this is going to be widespread. I think a lot of the naysayers are worried, like, oh my God, they're going to be 10,000 athletes making $100,000, and it's going to be divisive in the locker room, and they're not going to show up for practice because they're filming a commercial. None of that's going to happen.
Well, you know what, Duck? And I'm writing this. It's going to be in the paper either today or Friday. That's just the tip of the iceberg, and I think there could come a day when the athletes might get a little piece of the profits that the colleges are getting.
I'm
not going to shut the door on that, Duck. I'm glad that this happened, but the colleges are still getting to keep all those chips. How about some graduation incentives that come out of the kitty? How about that? How about a good citizenship bonus? There's money that should be shared with the athletes. I'm not saying big money, but more than they're sharing. They're still, at the end of the day, Duck, they're not sharing any of the money. This money's coming from a separate entity altogether. And I'm still not shocked that it took the NCAA 50 years just to get to this point.
Well, they were forced to do it. That's why, because California and 10 other states had either passed bills or were thinking about it. And Congress has looked into it as well. I just don't think we're going to get to that part where they're paid, and I don't really favor that either, because
A lot of them are getting paid anyway. We know that.
Well, no, I meant really paid, like pay stubs. And with Title IX, you must pay the women as you do the men, and you got to pay them in all sports.
So you're saying Title IX says that if I paid Sam Ehlinger $50,000. That I've got to pay Shook $750,000.
Absolutely. See, you got to pay. Saying you pay him the same amount, but you got to pay him.
I'm saying you pay him based on what they bring into the athletic department. Is what I'm saying.
No. You're talking common sense now. Yeah.
That'll never happen. Yeah. Because what I'm saying, Duck, is whatever you bring in, you get a percentage of that. So if at UConn, for instance, the women sometimes outdraw the men. They should make more money than the men.
Well, sure. That's common sense. I don't think we're ever going to see that, because equal protection under the law would mean you must pay the women and the men, and you'd have to pay the men's cross country and women's tennis, and that probably would bankrupt, because there are only probably a dozen to 18 college programs that make a profit. So I don't think it's going to happen. Then you get into workman's comp and liability.
Not if you make them independent contractors.
So, well, I don't know. I just don't think they're ever going to. They don't want to do this. You and I both know they don't want to do this when it's not coming out of their pocket. The last thing they want to do is get into paying players and paying them as workers and employees. That they would take that to the Supreme Court. So I don't think that's going to happen.
But you know what? This it's a momentous day, a small victory for the young men and the young women who are going to be able to make a little bit of extra money because they are bringing untold millions and millions and millions of dollars into these schools. This is just the tip of the iceberg. I hope more happens on this front, Duck. But for now, the NCAA got it right, and it wasn't because they wanted to get it right. They had to get it right.
Way, way overdue.
On Second Thought.
Well, Duck, I know you're not here, but we had to bring in our boy Catarino Vasquez. Most fantasy leagues are at the midway point or a little bit past. And for those of you who are interested, there might be seven or eight of you interested in the Office Football League. The Sitting Ducks are sitting at 4-4.
ugly.
Along with the FC Gatos, also at 4-4. And the defending champion Las Vegas Derelicts, hard luck Derelicts, are 3-5, but
very ugly.
On the men. On the men.
Man, why should anybody listen to what we have to say about fantasy football?
No one's listening to me. That's why we brought Kat.
We're almost 500 as the three of us.
That's like saying almost pregnant. Either you're a winner or you're not a winner, Katerino. And I'm not
a winner. We're average.
We're not a winner. So, Kat, so most of the fantasy leagues are coming down that stretch toward the playoffs. And we always ask you about free agents. What are a couple of names out there that we think that might be hovering around that waiver wire that might be somebody that could be a difference maker?
Boy, that's really tough right now. I mean, you got a bunch of quarterbacks just because we've had such a weird injury year.
Mm-hmm.
One guy who I think because of his name, he's still probably out there, but I just looked it up. He's a QB1 so far this season is Gardner Minshew for the Jaguars.
He's been nice.
He's been great.
I just got him.
Did you really?
I had to because I needed another position.
Right.
And I've got Stafford and Cousins.
He's been a big surprise.
Different.
Yeah, he's been a good surprise for them. Makes you wonder what's going to happen to Nick Foles once he gets healthy.
So. I think they're going to play Foles.
But, yeah, there's you think so?
I think so. You can't pay Nick Foles that kind of money sit him when he comes back.
That's true.
Well, I don't know. That's a can of worms there. But if you think you have the future quarterback, do you do that? What do you think, Kat?
I think they might think they have something in Minshew, so they might. I think they might stick with him, but that's a great point about the money. You don't do that usually if you've paid the guy.
And here's the thing, guys. This is not the same as is it Kyle Allen in Carolina?
Yeah,
I get my Allens mixed up.
Yeah,
Kyle Allen in Carolina has kind of rejuvenated that team, even though they got worked like a part-time job by the 49ers. He's rejuvenated that team, and Cam Newton's is broken and maybe done. We know Nick Foles isn't done yet. He's young. He's young, and he's not as beaten up as Cam.
So, but he does his best work coming off the bench in backup role, though, it seems like.
Yeah, he did. Yeah, his most storied work was with the Eagles when Carson Wentz got hurt. But Jacksonville didn't bring him in to do work off the bench. They brought him in here to replace a horrible Blake Bortles, who once cost you a fantasy league championship. I'm not going to bring that up again.
Don't bring that up.
But they brought him in to be the franchise, and Minshew just happens to have the goods so far. It's a good problem to have, but I think they'll go with Foles.
Yeah.
So who else, Kat? Anybody else's pickup that fantasy owners might look at?
If you're looking at, like, right now, if you need some help right away, I just looked at Deontay Johnson. For the Steelers.
He's nice.
Yeah, he had a
big
good
game, yeah.
He almost got me beat this week.
Yeah, 5 catches, 84 yards, and a touchdown. That was kind of a funny-looking touchdown there.
I threw a couple of things at the TV because I was up against Mason Rudolph, I barely held on.
It was against the Dolphins, remember?
Right, true.
Oh, I know, but still,
He's got three touchdowns on the year. So, I mean, he's shown life, obviously, but we're at the point where we're looking pretty deep in some teams. You've had a lot of turnover. You had a lot of injuries, so you're just looking for names. Another guy that's kind of on my back burner, if you have room to stash, Mark Walton for the Dolphins. He should be the top guy there, but it's a bad team, I know. But bad teams still play, and they still put up numbers, especially when they're losing. And Kenyon Drake just got traded away.
That's why I was shaking my head, Kat. Not because you said Mark Walton, but because Kenyon Drake couldn't beat out Mark Walton.
Yeah, that's pretty disappointing.
And he's on my team.
And I don't see Drake making a big impact for the Cardinals either, because we don't really know. Well, I guess.
Oh, they have that great player, that Chase Edmonds, Kirk. You ever heard of him?
Oh, my God. Stop it. That's another source.
What's wrong with you? What's wrong with Chase Edmonds?
Oh,
share with our listeners.
Tell our listeners, I was going against Joe and the Bayou Ballers in playing Chase Edmonds. His one career week in his entire life. What did he have, 39 points,
yes,
something like that?
39.
Yeah, that was
big. And whips me. Chase Edmonds. He's right up there with Blake Bortles in my voodoo doll. category. And now, is David Johnson's hurt too? I mean, what's the Arizona situation, you think?
Yeah. Well, they just brought in, who they just bring
yeah.
in?
Kenyon Drake.
They just brought yeah. in Drake, Drake, and he won't move the needle.
That's what I'm
he
thinking.
He won't move it.
Especially, I don't know that Johnson's going to be out that long. I mean, I think that the reason they brought him in was because Chase Edmonds got hurt, so they wanted some depth when Johnson does get back. But, yeah, I don't think Drake is going to be
right.
the guy there.
Who would you say is your biggest fantasy surprise and biggest fantasy disappointment?
Well, the biggest surprise, I would say,
I'm dancing because I'm gonna put it out there.
Go ahead.
What about my boy Darren Waller in Oakland?
Oh, for
what
sure.
What about my
yeah.
boy Darren Waller? He might be the best tight end in football.
But he probably is. That in terms of surprise that nobody really saw that coming
except
at
me.
All.
Except yeah. me.
Oh, he's did you star.
I watched Hard Knocks.
Oh.
That's why I got him for a dime in our fantasy league. I watched Hard Knocks and I liked him.
Yeah, big dude making all the plays. Yeah, for sure. He's probably the biggest surprise out there. But another name I want to mention who because he's on a team with a guy who's a clear wide receiver one is Chris Godwin. Oh. He's been a monster the first
might,
half of the
he
season.
He might be the one.
He might be.
He's getting more targets
yeah.
than Mike Evans.
He has the better numbers so far this year, but Mike Evans reminded everybody this past week, as Kirk knows, mm-hmm. that he's the top dog there still.
And all Kirk's done is complain about Mike Evans all year.
Well, he's had two big games, and one of them was against Cat.
Yeah, this
week. More than Julio. Cat.
Yeah, and Godwin pretty much had a bad games.
Yeah, he had a dud. They can't both be great in every game.
True.
I'd rather have either one of those guys than Jameis Winston.
Yeah.
What's my biggest disappointment?
Ooh, that is a lot of candidates for that.
Gurley.
Gurley's a big one. Odell Beckham's a big one. Baker's mm-hmm. a big one. People drafted Baker to be a QB1, and he's not even sniffing that territory. He's not even close.
Even Danny Davis benched him. And he loves Baker.
That's big. Yeah, let's see. There's
the biggest
others.
One ever is Antonio Brown.
Oh, for sure, but that's off the field. But, yeah, I mean, but the thing is people drafted him. So
yes, they did.
Yeah, he is the biggest disappointment. Cause
he went second round in my league, in my 14-team league.
Wow, that's
Who's the halfway point fantasy MVP?
Now, I was thinking about that on the way over here, and it's really a toss-up because if you're going to go with the – I know in a lot of leagues, quarterbacks score the most, but if in terms of...
By position.
You want to go by position?
Yeah, who's the best quarterback?
Oh, that's been...
Russ?
Yeah, Watson? It's either Russ or Watson. Yeah, it's real close between those two. I don't know. I'd probably say Watson mm-hmm. at this point.
Yeah.
If you're talking running back, it's got to be Christian McCaffrey because
no question,
there's just been no doubt about him, and that's something you need in fantasy. You need
But give me a little bit of Dalvin Cook now.
Oh, for sure, yeah,
he's right there. He just doesn't catch as many passes.
He has more rushing yards, and I think he does have more touchdowns. But mm-hmm. Christian McCaffrey has a little bit of an edge, I think, receiving. Wide receivers. Let's go. I think Cooper Kupp was pretty close there.
Cooper Kupp, Amari Cooper's been really good.
Amari's been good. I think I'd have Kupp and Godwin there. There's one more that's above Kupp that
Mike Thomas has been
Michael Thomas is the one, I think.
And Adam Thielen's been disappointment on my team.
He's been a bust.
Stephon Diggs is really coming on.
You know what? I'm before we wrap this up, I got a bone to pick with myself.
Okay.
So I do. Listen to this. So y'all, everybody out there that enjoys fantasy league football has had that year where it just not working out, where you start out and you can't get a win. I was 0-4, and me and my co-owner Tom Dorer wanted to shake some things up. And so we traded Stephon Diggs and Aaron Jones, who hadn't done much point, to Danny Davis for Amari Cooper and Kenyon Drake.
Oh, my goodness.
Horrible. Hindsight, that's a horrible trade because what I'm looking at now, if I had just stayed put, which I wouldn't have. I'm not the type to stay put at 0-4. But if if Adam Vinatieri makes a kick against Kirk, I'm 1-3.
Wow.
And so I'd have a lineup of, and y'all tell me what you think about this lineup. Kirk Cousins, resurgent, Aaron Jones, good. Ezekiel Elliott, Stephon Diggs,
good.
Julio Jones.
Always good.
Darren Waller.
Wow.
Yeah. And a flex.
You can make a run. You can make a run.
I have made a run. I've been over 120 points four straight weeks. Yeah. I was 0-4. I'm 3-5 now. But
well,
Kirk Cousins is kind of
a mystery, isn't he?
Yeah, and you know what? A thing I did do is I picked up Matt Stafford a couple of weeks ago, and he's been gold.
That's good to find a guy like Stafford on the wire.
I was shocked that someone dropped him, and my problems with Cousins. Cousins doesn't show up on the road sometimes.
Or prime time, really.
Stafford has been really good. Yeah. Really good. So I'm probably starting Stafford this week. So, yeah.
That might be a good idea for you.
Playing the FC Gattos.
I don't
want to
give too much away.
This week, and he's got this look on his face, Duck, like he's got something in store for me.
I got to be one of you guys. I don't know if I've got swept last year.
I beat you both last year.
I beat everybody last year.
You had a good team last year.
Who would you say, guys, boy, look at it. If anybody's listening and going, who's going to take off the second half of the season? Is Mahomes going to revert back to being Mahomes? How about New England Patriots defense?
Oh, tired of them. Talking about their defense, I just looked this up in our league. The Patriots, the Patriots defense would be the QB5 in our league.
The fifth best quarterback
in our league.
That's great.
Wow.
But that's fool's gold. They're not gonna keep scoring touchdowns.
No way.
They can't keep scoring touchdowns.
I agree. I bet they don't keep that up.
Scoop and scores every week. No, that's not gonna keep happening. And Danny's got them.
They're in the right division.
They're gonna cost Danny one of these times.
It helps you play the Dolphins twice and the Jets twice.
It really does.
Helps a lot. And even Buffalo's still Buffalo. So
offensive.
Anybody else that you would think? Boy, I bet they're going to take off. Anybody?
Players? Somebody who's coming back from injury pretty soon here is, and he's on a good team too. Marquise Brown started off guns blazing, and then
I dropped him.
Quiet.
He's been hurt. He hasn't been playing, so
you can't.
And he's got a hurt. He's got a rough matchup with the Patriots this week, but after that, he could. You know, if he comes back healthy, then I'd look out for him.
Anybody else? Anybody? Quarterback, running back?
I'll tell you one.
Guys coming back? Anything?
I got one, Doug. I got one. Jalen Samuels with the Steelers. So James Conner's banged up, and Benny Snell is banged up. And Samuels, I think, may be coming back this week from the injured list. I think he might get some run because the Steelers are going to run the football. As long as Mason Rudolph's the quarterback, they're going to be a run-first type team.
Yeah.
How bad is Connor's injury, Cat?
I don't think it's that bad.
But it is an AC joint. I've had that. That's painful.
Yeah.
That's painful. So
did you get tackled when you had that?
Huh? no, I hit the it was a basketball injury. I was going up for a layup, and I got blown up, and I landed on my shoulder. So, yeah. So it was the equivalent of being tackled, except I didn't land on grass. I landed on wood. It's a lot harder than grass.
Well, they're optimistic, I think. So I'm not sure how much time he's going to miss, if any at all. So we'll see about him. I actually have him in our league. So you'll see Kirk maybe. Maybe
you started
all
this
right.
Week.
Well, good. Well, I know we need to all get ready for the stretch run if we're going to make a run at the playoffs here. So good luck to all three of us.
Neither one of us is bringing it right now, but I'm predicting that somewhere down the line, starting this weekend, I'm coming after Cat. And, Duck, I'll probably see you in the postseason, one of you two. The derelicts are broken, but are battered, but not broken.
I think you had it right the first time.
Freudian slip. God, I hate that this is on tape.
On Second Thought.
That will do it for episode 157 of On Second Thought. We got to thank our guy, Cat Vasquez, for coming in to share a little fantasy league knowledge with us. For the Duck Kirk Bowles, I'm Cedric Golden. We'll see you next time.
You've been listening to On Second Thought, powered by Hook'em.com. Join Seth and Kirk every Thursday at lunch for a new episode. Archived episodes are available on iTunes and Google Android Play.